dumb, indifferent to the general confidence. Her little boy stroked her hand. As dusk fell, darkness gathered inside the wagon. We started to eat our last provisions. At 10 in the evening, everyone was looking for a convenient position in which to sleep for a while, and soon we were all asleep. Suddenly,
"The fire! The furnace! Look! Over there!"
Waking with a start, we rushed to the window. Yet again we had believed her, if only for a moment. But there was nothing outside save the darkness of night. With shame in our souls, we went back to our places, gnawed by fear in spite of ourselves. As she continued to scream, they began to hit her again, and it was with the greatest difficulty that they silenced her. The man in charge of our wagon called a German officer who was walking about on the platform and asked him if Madame Schechter could be taken to the hospital car.
"You must be patient," the German replied. "She'll be taken there soon."
Toward 11 o'clock, the train began to move. We pressed against the windows. The convoy was moving slowly. A quarter of an hour later, it slowed down again. Through the windows, we could see barbed wire. We realized that this must be the camp. We had forgotten the existence of Madame Schechter. Suddenly, we heard terrible screams.
"Jews! Look! Look through the window! Flames! Look!"
And as the train stopped, we saw this time that flames were gushing out of a tall chimney into the black sky. Madame Schechter was silent herself. Once more she had become dumb, indifferent, absent, and had gone back to her corner. We looked at the flames in the darkness. There was an abominable odor floating in the air. Suddenly our doors opened. Some odd-looking characters dressed in striped shirts and black trousers leapt into the wagon.